Joy Harjo was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and is a member of the Muscogee Creek Nation. She is a poet, musician, and playwright. She has 13 books of poetry and has released 4 award-winning albums of original music, and in 2009 won the Native American Music Award for Best Female Artist. Joy has conducted a one-woman show, Wings of Night Sky, Wings of Morning Light, and is currently at work on a musical play with the working title, We Were There When Jazz Was Invented. Joy's memoir, Crazy Brave, is the 2018 Fort Lewis College Common Reading Experience book, and she will be speaking in various venues at Fort Lewis College on February 12th and 13th, including a public talk on February 12th at the Wayland Gymnasium. Thanks so much for speaking with me today, Joy.
Well, it's good. Yeah, it's good to talk to you, and I'm real excited about being back up in that area.
Yeah, we're thrilled.
Again.
It's been a while. When was the last time you were here?
I think it was when Pamela Ustchuk was teaching there, and she brought several writers in.
Yeah, but it's been a good, probably, I don't know, over 10 years or not that long?
Oh, that's right. I came up there with Larry Mitchell.
Okay.
And we did a show and came over to the radio station, I think.
Yeah, yes, you did. Well, we're very excited.
Yeah, 10 years or something like that.
I think at least, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's so much that we could talk about as you have such a distinguished career, as I said, as a poet, a writer, a playwright, and an activist. But today I wanted to focus on your music since KSUT is partnering with the Strader Hotel to bring you to Durango for your performance on Valentine's Day on Wednesday, February 14th with your, is it fair to say, former band Poetic Justice? Or do you do...
Many of the same members, not everyone. We're going to do, we don't have the whole same lineup. But John Williams, who was my main collaborator out of the old Poetic Justice, he'll be there.
Yep.
And, I think we'll be the two members. Yeah.
Great.
Two members there.
Two of the originals.
Yes. So the originals.
The originals. And they're coming up, the rest of the band members are coming up from New Mexico, I understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great. You know, I wanted to just talk a little bit about kind of going back. As I mentioned to you previously, I just finished reading your memoir, Crazy Brave. And in that, the book, you talk about this, your love of music and having its formative roots, with your mother. And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit more about that history.
Yes, I came to poetry really through my mother. My mother loved poetry. She loved singing words, basically. And she used to write songs and sit at the kitchen table and with her typewriter, type out the lyrics. And she'd have band members over, people. I realize now we had some of the best country swing band members over in our house in Tulsa, they would play her songs. Or I got to see her sing once, with I think it was Leon McCullough and his Country Boys. And that was an experience. I usually heard her singing around the house. But she was a great influence on me when it comes to music and my love of music. I mean, my father loved music too, and the two of them were really good dancers. But, that's really where my love of poetry and music started in. And they were both, I never thought I would grow up being a poet or even a musician. As much as I love them, I didn't see, I guess a musician was more possible as a career than poet, because I saw musicians. I never saw people who said that they were poets. And then a poet musician was an unheard of animal.
Truly, truly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, when did you start weaving music and poetry together?
Actually, it was in like 1987, I think it was. There was, I just came upon, it was called Watershed Foundation out of Washington, D.C., was putting together cassettes. They used to put together poetry cassettes with poets. And I was in Denver hanging out. I would go to jazz clubs almost every night just listening. I didn't play yet then. And even though I always loved saxophone. And so they wanted to do a cassette of my poetry, and I said I wanted to put music on it. So that was my first really, you know, the first interaction with music in my career, but I wasn't playing on it. I had some of the Eric Gunnison, who is an incredible keyboard player, played on it, Laura Newman on saxophone, and it was a great, you know, I had great, you know, incredible people playing on there. And it wasn't too long after that that I picked up a King Super tenor sax, and somebody wrote out the G blues scale, and there I went. But I didn't really start playing, I guess the first time that, you know, My House is the, not My House is the Red Earth, mm-hmm. Letter from the End of the 20th Century, the Soul Poetic Justice album, was where I really started learning to play saxophone.
And that was about the age 40, is that correct?
Yeah, I was pretty, somewhere around that age.
Yeah. Yeah, well, way to take that on at that point in your life. It's commendable, you know, to take on a new instrument like that. I want to ask about, you write about the origin story of American music and especially jazz as being rooted in Southeastern Native culture, and I'm wondering if you could speak a little more to that.
Yeah, I always say I'm playing, my saxophone will be considered a traditional Muskogee instrument one of these days.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah, right.
You know, that connection between jazz and jazz and blues. Most people don't realize, I mean, the mythic naval chord probably, or the naval chord place, the mythic naval chord place of jazz and blues is really in New Orleans at Congo Square. And that most people don't know that Congo Square was a Muskogean village. And well, so what that tells you, if you know any of the story there, is that it was on Sundays the families would let the slaves out, let them have a day. And so they would all go down to Congo Square, and I can just see it, you know, setting up all their booths, food booths and arts, crafts, all the, you know, things that people do and need and want, little stores and the music. And so I can just see it. They're at a tribal village there, because it's like, hey, you recognize tribal people recognize other tribal people. And you say, okay, can you play this? Oh, that's cool. What song is this? People share music. You know, that's, you share food and music. That's kind of a set thing. And that's where it all started. And yet, we've been written out of the story. I've been researching and reading for years now, and people, very credible musicologists and people who write about blues and jazz will be standing there, you know, and say, Charlie Patton, you know, grew up his family was Choctaw also, and the writer might be standing right there and saying, well, there were Choctaws here, and they don't make that connection at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, I'm curious if the working title when we were there when jazz was invented is still the title, and what's the updated status on that play, the musical play that you were working on, have been working on?
I'm working on it now. It was commissioned by the Public Theater in New York, and they said they liked it. I mean, it still needs a lot of work. I'm in the middle of rewriting it. I don't know if anybody's worked in plays, but, or poetry or any kind of writing, there's a process of rewriting that goes on. And so I'm in the middle of rewriting it, and I'm writing the music for it, writing some of the music. I might get a collaborator in. I've talked to a couple of people. And so that's what's going on right now, is I'm rewriting it. I'm looking for a producer. And but in the title right now, it's the working title. We were there when jazz was invented, but I'm not sure that that's going to be the final title. It's really the story of a young Muskogee Creek man who is a poet, singer, songwriter, and who is also an activist. And the play starts out that he's with his band in Tulsa downtown for it's not water. It's sort of based on water protectors, but there's an incredible story of oil and natives in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, the oil capital of the world, they call it. So So they're having a concert to draw attention to the problem of oil and destruction of land when my character, the young man, is shot. And he goes into a space. He goes back through his whole story with his grandmother of seven generations back, who's come back to help him. And in order to come back from out of that coma or to live, he's going to have to go through back to Congo Square, because one of his biggest insecurities was over being a musician. And you know, he grew up in an alcoholic home. He had a father who was an activist and who was not there at all, and was from Congo Square, actually. So he has to go back and pick up pieces of what he needs. And what most people don't realize is that the trail of American music, jazz and blues, makes its way, usually music travels along rivers. So it's the Arkansas River, it goes up Mississippi, and so on. And so the trail of American music is also the trail of tears.
Mm.
And wow. He'll find his way. And in that journey, you'll hear the music, and by the time the audience gets to the end of the story, they're going to hear and know without a question, without a doubt, that we were part of the origin story of blues and jazz.
Sounds wonderful and compelling. What a great storyline. Well, we'll look forward to that coming to fruition. Thanks for sharing that. You know, just one or two last questions. The Durango performance is somewhat, I guess it's fair to say, of a bit of a reunion concert for Poetic Justice. Can you tell us anything about, you know, what this show kind of, has it been a while since you've kind of reconstituted and put together elements of the band for a performance like this?
Oh, it's been a long time.
You know,
and John and I have stayed in touch. In fact, I sent him, we're sending each other songs to add. You know, we're actually toying with the idea of doing a new Poetic Justice album.
Great.
Because he and I wrote the tunes on the last one. And so we started our process again of sending, I've been working on tunes and so has he, and sending things back and forth. But as most people know, you know, maybe your audience knows, he's been, you know, the drive behind Native Roots, which has done pretty well. And then I went off on my own. I traveled. I lived in Hawaii for a while, L.A., and moved back home to my tribal area in Oklahoma. And now I'm in Tennessee. Actually, the homelands, I've been all over this area looking at historic places and kind of grieving a lot, too. And then I'll be back. We're moving back home next year. So anyway, that's the long way around. The question is yeah. And I'm sorry, I tend to
that's
do that.
Okay. You're a poet, you can't help it.
that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. I have my ragged poetic license. But so John Williams will be part of it. You know, Frankie Pucha, wonderful singer, and he's no longer with us, and we'll really miss him. Yeah. And Willie Bluehouse Johnson couldn't make it. He's a tribal judge, I think, over at Laguna. So mm-hmm. he couldn't get off long enough. So his son Carlo, who also plays a lot with John, and you know he's played what was the name of the band he was in that people have probably seen. He also, you know, with Native Roots, and mm-hmm. then we have a wonderful drummer joining us whose name will come to me. I have someone I haven't played with.
Yeah.
But
well, we're very excited for the performance, and I just I'm excited for our whole community in this area. Not only for the, you know, the public opportunity for folks to come see you speak at Fort Lewis College on February 12th, but for those who, you know, there's a lot of people in this area who are very familiar with you, and there's a lot of people who will be being introduced to you and your poetry and your music. And so just an opportunity to kind of have a poetry, you know, have a spoken spoken word evening or, you know, at the college, and then to have that musical accompaniment at the next night. We're really delighted that this has all worked out. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, too, for helping take care of us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Set this up.
Well, if folks are just tuning in, we've been speaking with Joy Harjo, who is performing on Wednesday, February 14th with her band Poetic Justice at the Henry Strader Theater. The show starts at 7:30. Tickets are available on our website at ksut.org. Joy, thanks so much for joining us today and spending some time, and we really look forward to you being here in a few weeks.
Well, I'm really excited about it, and I look forward to seeing you and everyone, and it's exciting. I'm happy. It's like coming home to come to that part of the world, and so we're happy to be playing
wonderful
out there for you guys.
Wonderful. Thank you.